So we're in week two of the series called Wells. Anybody here last week for week one of Wells? Wow, and you're back for week two with the most unexciting series title ever, Wells. All right, so we're going into week two. Did Austin and the tech team and media team do an awesome job with trivia this morning? Or anyone else like me, the guy leading the series, and I didn't even know the answers to all the questions? Just sitting here just ashamed. Oh, dear. You know, I'm trying to, like, flip through my Bible and find some answers. Great job, Austin. You got me on week one. I'm coming back strong for next week. I'll be more prepared for trivia involving Wells. Like, everyone's going to be Googling all the verses involving Wells now to try to come in ready for trivia next week. Okay, so this week, if you want to turn your Bibles, we're going to go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 for week 2 in Wells. So John chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. So the first thing is we realize Jesus was tired. So where does Jesus plop down to rest? He sat down at a well for refreshment. Verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So this well where Jesus decides that he's tired and he wants to rest, he sits down at this well and he meets a Samaritan woman. And if you know the context, some of you probably definitely do, Jews and Samaritans, like it tells in the verse, they don't talk. Jews would actually avoid Sychar and all of Samaria. They walk around it to avoid it. And Jesus just plows right through Samaria. Doesn't care that the cultural rule says we don't talk, we don't interact with Samaritans. They're much lower than us. So he sits down at noon looking for refreshment at a well. And the one who comes out is a lone Samaritan woman who informs him, "Good sir, you must have missed the cultural laws that we follow, the rules that we follow. You and I, we don't associate." But Jesus, that didn't stop him from asking her for a drink of water. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as also did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them," underline this, "a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So she comes and Jesus starts talking to her, and she again sees everything through the physical. Through the physical. That's all she can see. She tells Jesus things like, "How can you get this living water? The well's deep and you have nothing to draw with." She starts explaining, "Sir, even if you had this living water, if you could access it in whatever well you're talking about, you have nothing to draw water. That's why you've asked me for a drink. Where is this living water?" She only sees through the physical. Remember last week, if you were here, that got the Reubenites and the Gadites in trouble when they started seeing everything just through the physical. But see, Jesus is talking about a spiritual well, and he offers her water from there. If you are engaging with the message today, whether in the building or online, if you are a Christian, you have a well, you have a spring of living water inside of you that Jesus has put there. That same living water that he's talking about right now, offering this to a Samaritan woman, that living water he offers her, according to Scripture, if you're a Christian, exists in you right now. You have a spring of living water inside of you. Have you dug down deep enough to access it? Have you dug down deep enough to access that living water that Jesus has put inside of you if you are a Christian? In the Old Testament times and in the New Testament times where Jesus was at, in order for them to build a well, they would obviously have to dig. And so if this was ground level right here, the water table would be down here underground. So they may have been walking, they may have been thirsty, Jesus may have wanted refreshment, but he couldn't access the water at the water table unless a well had been dug. And so if the water table is here and ground level is here, in order for the well to work, you have to dig down, reach the water table, and go below the water table for the well to refill whenever you drew from it. The same principle applies to us spiritually. If you're a Christian, Jesus just told you inside of you is a spring of living water. But the question for each of us is, have we dug a well deep enough in our soul to access it? Have we dug a well deep enough in our soul to access it? Because that's how you can see so many Christians who've gone to church for years, they've been following Jesus for years, but they look dry as can be. And it's because they have a living water inside of them, but they've not dug a well deep enough to access it. Watch what the woman says in verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty again and have to keep coming here to draw water." She's not caught it yet. She's still seeing everything through the physical. But see, the water that Jesus offers in this moment and to us today is not a physical, it's a spiritual. Watch this. He explains it further in John 7, 37 through 39. It says this, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being,'" underline, "innermost being, "will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit whom he believed in, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." You see, John chapter 7 is critical to fully understand John chapter 4 because Jesus is not talking about an actual water. He's offering Holy Spirit. He's offering Holy Spirit. And to all people, he offers Holy Spirit to a Samaritan woman who tells him, "We don't associate, we don't talk." But Jesus says, if you knew who asked you for water, you would ask him for living water. This water that Jesus puts inside of us, that we, if we're not careful, don't access, is actually essential and critical for our spiritual growth. Because it's not just living water, it's Holy Spirit inside of us. Watch what this says. You can turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Verse 22, it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law." Let me ask this question. If you take Galatians 5, John 7, and John 4, let me ask this question. And I'm asking like anyone's actually going to stand up and go, "No, sir! Sit down. No more questions from you today. You're done." I don't know if we've actually got like a full-on security team. If you did that, we would probably escort you out of the building in the most kind way. And we would not offer you donuts and coffee on the way out. And so the question to ask is, how are the fruits of the Spirit supposed to grow without the living water of the Spirit? How are the fruits of the Spirit in our life supposed to grow without living water from Holy Spirit? You see, this disconnect has existed for far too long in too many Christians' lives, where we want the fruit of the Spirit and we have living water of the Spirit inside of our soul, but there's a disconnect because we don't dig down in our soul to access the living water that Jesus has put there. And then we wonder, why do I not have peace? Why do I lack joy in my life? Why can I not grow in self-control? It's because you've not dug down to access the living water. If you want fruits of the Spirit to grow in your life, you need living water from the Spirit. But so many times as Christians, we can be tempted to go, I'm gonna will it. I'm going to have self-control and discipline because I can. I will have joy over my dead body. I will get it. And we try to muscle our way through it, but where do we find that in Scripture? Where do we find that in Scripture? The only thing in Scripture I can find about what we can will and do in our own power is Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." You may want to underline that. I'm sure the Lord may speak some things into your life in that. So if you want to underline that, you are not to do whatever you want. Some parents are like circling that for their kids later on. We're going to come back to that one as a family. Looking over the kids next to you. Yeah, you see that? It's in the Bible. You're not to do whatever you want. And so be blessed, parents. That's free of charge. Verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Verse 19, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Those verses have to deal with us who think we can will it, that it's inside of our control, our own power. What our own control and power will get us is not Galatians 5:22. What our own power will get us is Galatians 5:19. You see, we all want our fruits of the Spirit to grow, right? Who doesn't want more joy, peace, kindness, self-control to be growing in our life? But see, we just discussed that can't happen if we don't access living water inside of our soul that the Lord has already put there. And see, what can happen is not only will we get frustrated that the fruits of the Spirit are not growing in our life if we don't have wells in our soul deep enough to access living water that's been there, what will happen is our flesh will grow. Our flesh will grow. That living water is not only essential for the fruits of the Spirit to grow, that living water in our soul is essential for our flesh to become diminished. If you want a garden, picture your spiritual life as a garden. If you want nice, beautiful spiritual watermelons, if you want beautiful pumpkins and all kinds of other fruit in your garden, some nice cucumbers and tomatoes, if you want that to grow, what you need is you need to go down to the spiritual Home Depot and get you some living water, right? Because that's the thing that's going to make it grow. See, if you're not buying that, what's going to grow in your garden is your flesh, not fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit will never ever grow in your life without living water that only can come by Jesus. There's nothing inside of our control, there's nothing inside of our power that can make us grow a spiritual garden of fruits of the Spirit without first receiving living water that can only come through Jesus. It can only come through Jesus. There's nothing we can do to be good enough to grow that garden. So as you take inventory of your life, what's growing in your life right now? What's growing in your life? Does it look more like Galatians 5:19 through 21? Does it look more like Galatians 5:22? And the reason that question is important, what is growing in your life, is it will quickly answer for each and every one of us, is the well in our soul deep enough to access living water? Because if you are accessing that, if you're drawing from your soul living water, it will diminish your flesh. Your flesh cannot grow in the environment of you constantly going to the well of living water in your soul. If you look at your life and you see fruits of the Spirit growing, it's because you've accessed a spring of living water that Jesus has put there. Maybe you've walked in or you're engaging with the message online today, and you feel the Lord asking you, do you want living water? Do you want living water today? Do you want to never thirst again spiritually? And I want to encourage you that the Lord is here today to offer living water to anyone who will accept him. That offer, that invitation he gave to the Samaritan woman rings true for you and I today. That he offers living water that we never have to thirst again spiritually. That we can have a spring of living water inside of our soul that wells up to eternal life. We can have a river of living water. And see, if you're like me, you look back at your life and you go, sometimes I don't really feel like I have a river of living water inside of my soul. I could go over my testimony of how many times, at best, I had a dry riverbed, but I didn't see any river of living water inside of my soul. So we've got to ask ourselves if according to John 4, that if we're a Christian, that Jesus puts living water inside of our soul, and we've got to dig down to access that, we have to take inventory of our own life. The question to ask is the well of prayer deep enough in your soul to access living water for you? Is the well of fasting deep enough in your soul to access living water? Is the well of worship deep enough in your soul to access living water? Is the well of generosity deep enough in your soul to access living water? Because if we're not careful, here's what happens as a Christian. Living water gets put in our soul, and we have a well that's 2 feet deep. When we finally get in trouble, we've not dug the well properly, and we go to it, and all we get is dry dirt. Is it because living water doesn't exist there? Or is it because we've not dug down to the spring of living water that exists? And that's why so many times people can try out Christianity for a little bit. They go, this Christianity thing's not for me. It's not doing anything. It's not changing my life at all. And they've got a 2 foot deep well. They've not dug down to access a living water where they'll never thirst again. What do the wells look like inside of your soul? Verse 16 of John chapter 4. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had 5 husbands, and the man you are with now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman replied, I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, and this time in this context, it's not a diminishing term, it's not derogatory. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. The Father seeks. Have you ever stopped and thought, what is the Lord seeking? The Lord is seeking those who will worship from a well that draws living water. The Lord is looking for those who have a well deep enough to draw living water and feed fruits of the Spirit in their life and diminish the flesh. He's seeking, underline that, the Father seeks those who worship in spirit and in truth. They go together. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. What a moment that must have been for a woman who came to the well, who had five husbands, was living with a man that wasn't hers. She came to the well at noon because all the other women would have already come to draw water. She was avoiding people. She was living in shame and isolation and guilt. She didn't like who she was. She wanted that living water. Why? So she didn't ever have to come back to the well. But here is Jesus looking that woman in the eye and saying, I am he who can offer living water. But I don't want us to miss a moment, because so many times you and I in this moment would have put up walls. We would have said, Jesus, you know my sin. You know my mistakes. Why are you talking to me? Jesus, depart from me. I've messed up too much. I've made too many mistakes. You don't want me. Well, that theologically is incorrect. What happens in John 4? Jesus, a man named Jesus, who reveals at the end of this context, I am he. I'm the one who gives living water. He sits down in the well, and what does he do? First, he asks the woman, can I have a drink? And then he informs her after that, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for living water. You would ask me for living water. So Jesus offers her living water before he deals with her sin. And so you and I, first, we think Jesus wants to deal with our sin before he ever talks to us, before he'll ever engage with us, before he'll ever sit down and talk to us. We've got to get our sin right. We've got to pull our bootstraps up. We got to get our stuff together. And then maybe Jesus will talk to me after I've done all that. See, Jesus talks to a Samaritan woman who the Jews would have never associated with. He sits and talks to a woman who had five husbands, and the man she was with was not even her husband. He sits down and talks with her before discussing all that. Before he discusses all that. And maybe if you're engaging with the message today and you try to keep Jesus at a distance, I want to encourage you that he's at the well right now with you. He's walked into your life, and he's willing to offer you living water where you'll never thirst again spiritually. And the reason he finally brings up the sin is, if you do want that living water, if you do want to say yes to living water where you'll never thirst again spiritually, then your sin has to be dealt with. He goes in because he knows that he can offer living water to you and you can receive. But if you don't deal with the sin in your life, it will pollute your wells. It will block your wells. And that's when he steps in to deal with it. And see, here's the principle that we've got to learn from John 4, because it will change the way we interact with other people. It will change the way that we see ourselves. It will change the way we see Jesus. Here's the principle that we need to learn from John chapter 4. Jesus will meet you right where you're at. Jesus will meet you right where you're at. Five husbands, the man you're with now, is not your husband kind of level sin. He'll meet you right where you're at. But it doesn't mean it's okay to stay there. It doesn't mean it's okay to stay there. And it's a principle we've lost between the love and justice, the mercy and grace of Jesus. This is where it collides, is John chapter 4, where Jesus will meet anyone right where they're at. There's no sin, there's no barrier that can keep Jesus from showing up at your well. The question is, when you leave the well after talking with Jesus, are you willing to walk back a different person? She may have walked up with five previous husbands and the man she was with now, but after a conversation with Jesus, who offered living water, she walks away a different person. Her life is going to be different now. Jesus will meet anyone where they are at, but it doesn't mean it's okay to stay there. And maybe you've engaged with the messenger listening today, and you needed to understand there's a man named Jesus who offers living water today where you'll never thirst again spiritually. And the sins you've tried to keep him away with are not a barrier. It's not enough to keep Jesus away. He says, we'll absolutely deal with that, but first, do you want the living water? Do you want the living water? So as you are pondering this, maybe one of the questions the Lord is asking of you right now is, when people show up at your well, what do you have to offer? What do you have to offer them? And they show up in your life, and they're looking for refreshment, and they're tired, and they're looking for hope. Can you have them sit down at your well and draw from them? Draw for them living water. Can you offer them a cup of living water from your soul? Because you've let Jesus come in and well up with inside of you a living water where you never have to thirst again, and now neither do they if they accept Jesus. Can people come into your life? And because you've got a well deep enough to draw living water and you've got fruits of the Spirit growing because of that, can people come into your life tired and weary and broken and hurting, and they sit down at your well and you're off, able to offer, have some fruit, peace, kindness, joy? Because before they got there, you had been drawing from a well that never has to run dry. You were able to draw from a well of living water and have fruits of the Spirit growing in your life. America, it's been far too long where people show up in our lives, and rather than Christians drawing from wells of living water, we had them stop at a well, we draw down, we offer them a cup of politics. We offer a cup of finances. Or a cup of sports. People are coming and looking, and there's only one type of water that can change a life, and it's living water. You may look around and you go, look what's happening in this world. It's burning, it's chaos, it's destruction. People are hurting, they need something. What they need is inside, welling up, springing up like a river inside of every Christian right now. We walk around with the answer, but have we dug our wells deep enough to look out at a world and say, would you like a cup of living water? Would you like peace, joy, kindness? Christians, it's time for us to stop digging our wells anywhere else besides a spring of living water. This world doesn't need anything else it has to offer. What every person needs is living water, the same thing that was offered a Samaritan woman and is offered today. It's what I need every day. I don't need anything else. What I need is to go to a well and draw living water. Otherwise, the fruits of the Spirit won't continue to grow in my life. My flesh will. So, Christians, we've got to evaluate. Where have we put our wells? When people come into our life, what do we offer them? Where your deepest well is where your passion truly lies. Where your deepest well is reveals where your true passion lies. And if it's anything else than living water, we've missed it. We've missed it. But maybe you're engaging with the message today and you have a response like the Samaritan woman. And you've never said yes to Jesus. You thought he didn't want you, that your sins were too much, you made too many mistakes, but now you realized Holy Spirit's working in your life and Jesus offers you living water today. Mistakes and all. It's the same moment that I got to experience years ago when I didn't deserve it. I did not earn it. But the Lord showed up in my life nonetheless because he meets people where they're at. It doesn't mean it's okay to stay there. And Jesus is here offering living water to any person who's willing to say yes. If you've never given your life to Jesus, today is an opportunity for you to have a spring of living water well up inside of you to eternal life through Jesus. And you just have to give your life to him. To say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. The ones I thought were too great to keep you away. Come be the Lord of my life. Plant in with me, inside of me, in my innermost being, that spring of living water. I want rivers of Holy Spirit inside of my soul. So, Lord, we want to get out of the way. Lord, we don't want our flesh to grow. We want fruits of the Spirit to grow. So, God, won't you pour out on us a move of your Spirit? God, won't you convict us if we've not dug our wells deep enough, God? Won't you encourage us, implore us to dig wells deep enough in our innermost being, God, that we are able to draw living water that you've planted inside of us? Won't you raise up something in North Georgia and beyond where there's rivers of living water running out because your people are seeking your face more than anything? Lord, we pray for more of you and less of us. Let us be a people who dig wells who are deep enough to offer living water to a world that's broken and hurting in need of you, Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, refill our wells. Move in a mighty way. Give us the boldness and courage and strength to do the things you're asking us to. And I pray for anyone who's engaging with the message today, Lord, and they want living water, that I pray that they will humble themselves, they'll turn their life, they'll give it to you, Jesus, and they'll experience a living water where they never thirst again spiritually, because your grace and your mercy and your love is greater than anything. There's no sin that can hold back a move of the Lord if we but humble ourselves. So, Lord, we give you this time to move. Holy Spirit, convict. Holy Spirit, draw us in. Change us and make us to be everything the Lord wants us to be. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.